Welcome to our Sunday gathering. It's good to see you all here. Nice to see all your faces. Still loving this platform. Hey, Lynn, I saw you grooving to the music. Yeah, that was sweet. So let me play our opening song or a portion of that, and we will greet one another on the board just as you would greet your friends and neighbors at your local brick and mortar church. So let me see if I can figure out how to do this.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic. Awakening in the flowering of the heart, everybody here. Melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Dawn, this technical stuff's harder than it looks, so you do it seamlessly and marvelously. Thank you. And a shout out to Lynn, who did that for all these years and made it seem so easy. Yeah. So, all right. Let's start with our statement of purpose. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. Within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And most applicable core value of our five core values for this morning's talk is, we realize everyone is equal. And no one has been given spiritual intuition that is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. We live this value by listening to each other, respecting each other, and allowing each one to be where he or she is. All right. And announcements. Okay, join us next Sunday night, March the 3rd. At 8 p.m. Eastern Time for our quarterly member meeting. Regina will present the 2018 financial report. She will discuss an important announcement regarding the Awakening Together radio and discuss the annual fall retreat. In addition, we will have another Reflections from the Retreat House presentation, where those who attended the recent natural meditation retreat will share about their experience at that retreat. So that's going to be a lot of fun. It's a fabulous retreat. We'll tell you more about it next Sunday. So please come join us for that and for the quarterly member meeting next Sunday, March the 3rd at 8 p.m. And mark your calendars for Awakening Together's annual fall retreat. Those dates have been set. The retreat, of course, will be held at the Retreat House in La Vida, Colorado. The dates are October the 20th through the 26th and October 28th through November the 1st. Again, it's October the 20th through the 26th and October the 28th through November the 1st. You can plan on attending both retreats or come for just one. So it's going to be set up that you won't miss anything, right? Please plan to join us on those dates. More information about the fall retreat, as I just said, will be presented next Sunday at the quarterly member meeting. Registration is open for our MPP class, Understanding Purification. This class is 4 weeks long. Whether this is your first exploration of inner space or you've devoted your life to the inward journey, this course can transform your relationship with yourself and the world around you. By tapping into the tradition of mindfulness, discover how the development of conscious awareness can enable you to dwell in the present moment and heal the painful thoughts and memories that block self-realization. You will discover what you can do to purify from habitual energy patterns that limit your consciousness. We're offering two class times on Tuesday afternoons, March 19th through April the 5th, from 2 to 4 p.m. So that's Tuesdays, 2 to 4 p.m. beginning on March the 19th. And then on Thursday afternoons, beginning on March the 21st, from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Thursday afternoons, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. The facilitator for the Tuesday class is Reverend Doreen Bonnet. And for the Thursday afternoon class is Reverend Carl Lammers. The textbook for that course is The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. And I'll tell you, it is a game changer. So if you haven't taken the course, please consider doing it at this time. It's a fabulous course. And then finally, I am inviting you to join us tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time for our movie discussion group. This month's movie is Joe versus the Volcano. At its heart, this movie is a fairy tale filled with travels and travails, obstacles and the overcoming of them, adventure and romance, symbols and archetypes. It is a deeply searching and existential film that doubles as both a satire and a romantic comedy. It is a deeply moving, transcendent movie. You can find a play sheet to help guide you through your movie watching experience under the To Read tab on our website. Look for the Awakening Together news post titled Not Too Late to Watch This Month's Movie, and there's a link to the play sheet there. All right. So, it's so funny, y'all. I'm so nervous. Isn't this funny? I've never done this before. Oh, shoot. Okay, so anyway, now what we're going to do is we are going to have an opening song to help all of us, mostly me, all of us settle in for this message. So let me find that song and do this share screen thing again. All right, here we go.
down, and oh, my soul so weary. When troubles come, and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be.
Beautiful song. Yeah. So let's take a moment for prayer. As I go into prayer, I heard myself take a moment for prayer, and I heard the response the real prayer is to let my whole life be a prayer. To allow myself to be raised up. To become the empty shell Father, help us hear what we need to hear, see what we need to see. Let me be a conduit of your love. Amen. Lisa, smiling face. Hi, Lisa. All right. Next up, we have the lovely Shauna Summers, who is going to read us our reading for this morning from A Course in Miracles. And I thought I had that page open. Let me get to the page before you start, Shauna. There it is. All right. Shauna, please take the mic.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I'm coming through loud and clear. Yay, okay. I'm reading from the sparkly edition of A Course in Miracles. So if you've got the blue books, the pages might be different. So in this sparkly edition of The Course in Miracles, that's on page 217, grandeur versus grandiosity. I'm still like all emotional from the song and from your prayer, Jacqueline. So take a deep breath. Thank you for that. It was beautiful. Okay. Grandeur is of God and only of Him. Therefore, it is in you. Whenever you become aware of it, however dimly, you abandon the ego automatically because in the presence of the grandeur of God, the meaninglessness of the ego becomes perfectly apparent. Though it does not understand this, the ego believes that its enemy has struck and attempts to offer gifts to induce you to return to its protection. Self-inflation of the ego is its alternative to the grandeur of God. Which will you choose? Grandiosity is always a cover for despair. It is without hope because it is not real. It is an attempt to counteract your littleness based on the belief that littleness is real. Without this belief, grandiosity is meaningless and you could not possibly want it. The essence of grandiosity is competitiveness because it always involves attack. It is a delusional attempt to outdo, but not undo. We said before that the ego vacillates between suspiciousness and viciousness. It remains suspicious as long as you despair of yourself. It shifts to viciousness whenever you will not tolerate self-abasement and seek relief. Then it offers you the illusion of attack as a solution. The ego does not know the difference between grandeur and grandiosity because it does not know the difference between miracle impulses and ego alien beliefs of its own. We once said that the ego is aware of threat, but does not make distinctions between two entirely different kinds of threat to its existence. Its own profound sense of vulnerability renders it incapable of judgment except in terms of attack. When it experiences threat, its only decision is whether to attack now or to withdraw to attack later. If you accept its offer of grandiosity, it will attack immediately. If you do not, it will wait. The ego is immobilized in the presence of God's grandeur because His grandeur establishes your freedom. Even the faintest hint of your reality literally drives the ego from your mind because of complete lack of investment in it. Grandeur is totally without illusions, and because it is real, it is compellingly convincing. Yet the conviction of reality will not remain with you unless you do not allow the ego to attack it. The ego will make every effort to recover and mobilize its energies against your release. It will tell you that you are insane and argue that grandeur cannot be a real part of you because of the littleness in which it believes. Yet your grandeur is not delusional because you did not make it. You have made grandiosity and are afraid of it because it is a form of attack. But your grandeur is of God, who created it out of his love. From your grandeur, you can only bless because your grandeur is your abundance. By blessing, you hold it in your minds, protecting it from illusions and keeping yourself in the mind of God. Remember always that you cannot be anywhere except in the mind of God. When you forget this, you will despair and you will attack. The ego depends solely on your willingness to tolerate it. If you are willing to look upon your grandeur, you cannot despair, and therefore you cannot want the ego. Your grandeur is God's answer to the ego, because it is true. Littleness and grandeur cannot coexist, nor is it possible for them to alternate in your awareness. Littleness and grandiosity can and must alternate in your awareness, since both are untrue, and therefore on the same level. Being the level of shift, it is experienced as shifting, and extremes are its essential characteristics. Truth and littleness are denials of each other because grandeur is truth. Truth does not vacillate. It is always true. When grandeur slips away from you, you have replaced it with something you have made. Perhaps it is the belief in littleness. Perhaps it is the belief in grandiosity. Yet it must be insane because it is not true. Your grandeur will never deceive you, but your illusions always will. Illusions are deceptions. You cannot triumph, but you are exalted. And in your exalted state, you seek others of like you and rejoice with them. It is easy to distinguish grandeur from grandiosity because love is returned, but pride is not. Pride will not produce miracles, and therefore will deprive you of your true witnesses to your reality. Truth is not obscure or hidden, but its obviousness to you lies in the joy you bring to its witnesses who show it to you. They attest to your grandeur, but they cannot attest to pride because pride is not shared. God wants you to behold what he created because it is his joy. Can your grandeur be arrogant when God himself witnesses to it? And what can be real that has no witnesses? What good can come of it? And if no good can come of it, the Holy Spirit cannot use it. What he cannot transform to the will of God does not exist at all. Grandiosity is delusional because it is used to replace your grandeur. Yet what God has created cannot be replaced. God is incomplete without you because his grandeur is total, and you cannot be missing from it. You are altogether irreplaceable in the mind of God. No one can fill your part in it. And while you leave your part of it empty, Your eternal place merely waits for your return. God, through his voice, reminds you of it, and God himself keeps your extensions safe within it. Yet you do not know them until you return to them. You cannot replace the kingdom, and you cannot replace yourself. God, who knows your value, would not have it so, and so it is not so. Your value is in God's mind, and therefore not in yours alone. Let me read that one again. Your value is in God's mind, and therefore not in yours alone. To accept yourself as God created you cannot be arrogance, because it is the denial of arrogance. To accept your littleness is arrogant, because it means that you believe your evaluation of yourself is truer than God's. Yet if truth is indivisible, your evaluation of yourself must be God's. You did not establish your value, and it needs no defense. Nothing can attack it or prevail over it. It does not vary. It merely is. Ask the Holy Spirit what it is, and he will tell you. But do not be afraid of his answer, for it comes from God. It is an exalted answer because of its source. But the source is true, and so its answer. So is its answer. Listen and do not question what you hear, for God does not deceive. He would have you replace the ego's belief in littleness with his own exalted answer to the question of your being, so that you can cease to question it and know it for what it is. That's it. Thank you, Jacqueline, for asking me. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Shauna. Beautifully read. Thank you. Okay. My desk is covered here. I can't figure out where to set my coffee down. All right. Move these papers. See what time it is. I'm narrating, I know. all right. So, I usually start by telling you guys about how the message came about. So that's what I'm going to do this morning. How this came to me, and generally, as I've said before, the topic does come to me. It's the message that I need to learn. So that's what's going on here today. So what happened was I began to see several situations around me in which other people or I seem to be operating on the presumption that they or I knew more than others about spiritual things, right? Oh, I know. You don't know what that means. I know what that means. that's one. Another thing that happened was that I learned someone was going to be joining a study group that I was in. And based on what I thought I knew of them from the past, I was like, oh, no. because I was concerned that they would pontificate, take over the class, undermine my authority, right? And I'm like, oh, gosh. Another thing that occurred was that I had been hearing Regina in recent weeks teach from I Am That. And Regina keeps telling us in I Am That she is amazed how people go to sages, awakened masters, and ask them these deep spiritual questions, and then argue with the answer that they get. Of course, when Regina says that, I'm always like, ooh, is she talking about me? Because I do that with Regina all the time. I'm like, help me with this issue. And she'll go, da, 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 and I'll go, no, that's not it. but I kept hearing that over and over. I also have seen others do this same thing where they're, and I've seen that tendency in myself as well, where they're so intent on telling you what they know that they can't hear the truth. You know, they can't hear what the teacher's trying to tell them. Other things that happen, I have seen myself be so convinced of what a teaching meant. And you know what, part of what we did in the past couple of retreats was to look at quotes from the masters to and to give our insights on these quotes, you know, say what they mean to us. And I've seen myself absolutely convinced that I have the proper interpretation of that quote, or that whatever we're contemplating, and then go, oh, when I find that my interpretation really falls short of a full understanding of what's being taught. And I was absolutely convinced I knew what that meant. I've also seen clarity in the same sort of situation. Clarity absolutely come in a flash without, like, let me think about this and work it out, but just real clarity come in. And then speak that clarity. And then go, uh-oh, what if I'm wrong? And start backpedaling. Well, you know, it might be that, but, you know, I can't be absolutely sure. And then the final thing is that I've been working on some projects with peers who have welcomed my teaching as part of the process, and yet welcomed my insight, my understanding, and yet I've been reluctant to share. Whatever insight and understanding that I have to share, for fear of offending them. Well, that's what I tell myself, for fear of offending them. But it's, but it's really fear that I don't know what I'm talking about. So that's how we came to this this stage of this message. So a couple of things came to me this morning, and it's interesting because you know, I don't want to over prepare, and we've talked about this before. I don't want to over prepare. I don't want to be under prepared. I don't want to just sit here and ramble and but very clearly this morning, these insights came in. One of those was that the question is really, do I want to share something of value, or do I want to be seen as having something valuable to share? Those are two very, very different questions, and I think they go directly to what was expressed in the reading: grandeur versus grandiosity. That's the sum of it right there. Do I want to share something of value, or do I want to be seen as having something valuable to share? The other thing that came in when I sat down in my recliner, my meditation chair, was a single word, and it was one that I had not considered last night when I was preparing. And that was authenticity. I thought, well, that's interesting. That hadn't occurred to me. You know, when I prepared the talk, I really liked the alliteration, hubris, humility, and honesty. Ooh, all H's. this word didn't fit with that little theme I had going there. But that's really what this is about. So again, part of this, what we have been doing at these retreats is really opening to genuine inspiration, in the contemplation of the teaching of the masters, and one of the ways, and you all have heard Regina do it, but one of the ways that I have become enamored with. One of the ways that really helps me open is to look up the definitions of words. You know, in the old days we might have called it brainstorming, although I'm trying to be in my heart, not my head. But it's that sort of thing. You know, it's really going in and assuming I have no knowledge of what's written on the paper, no knowledge of the true meaning of what the masters are trying to teach me. It's that emptiness, that beginner's mind, that is the aim of this. And again, for some reason, looking up the definitions of certain words helps me to do that. So I have looked up the definitions. I looked up, you know, hubris, humility, and honesty. And then again, this word just popped in out of nowhere this morning, authenticity. Authenticity is defined as representing one's true nature or beliefs. As Brené Brown says, to be authentic, we must cultivate the courage to be imperfect and vulnerable. We have to believe that we are fundamentally worthy of love and acceptance just as we are. I've learned that there is no better way to invite more grace, gratitude, and joy into our lives than by mindfully practicing authenticity. And again, I think that that quote from Brené Brown once again is inviting. It's the invitation to be empty. The invitation to be wrong, right? To say, oh, I was wrong about that. Show me. Show me what it is that I don't know. So let's look at this word hubris. Again, I liked the alliteration, all the H's in my little title. So I chose the word hubris. I've heard Adi Ashanti use the word hubris. In my mind, it generally, basically meant, I don't know where my mind just went, but it just went out. So let me try again. it generally meant arrogance. And I certainly see myself oftentimes as arrogant. and I imagine many of you do as well. the original, the Greek root of this word originally meant the intentional use of violence to humiliate or degrade. How about that? And you know, the reading talked about comparisons, and we're going to come back to the idea of comparisons, but you can see it's like trying to one-up somebody to humiliate or degrade. And then it said that this word, the connotation of the word changed over time, and it came to mean, well, it's defined as overweening. Of course, I had to look up overweening, which means showing excessive confidence or pride, an overweening presumption that leads a person to disregard the divinely fixed limits on human action in an ordered cosmos. The presumption that leads a person to disregard the divinely fixed limits on human action in an ordered cosmos. And I thought that was fascinating because, frankly, that's what the ego is telling me when it says, hey, you're arrogant. It's saying, who do you think you are? You don't know the truth. How in the world would you presume to convey the truth to someone else? You know, you need to learn your place and stay in it. That's what the ego says. No, I don't agree with that. But that's what ego says when I attempt to speak my truth. Then I looked at this, the definition of humility. And, you know, again, it's when you're when I'm contemplating, that's another fun part of looking up these words is, you know, the definitions in a dictionary can be this long. You know, there can be several definitions. And part of the fun of it is seeing what jumps out at you, seeing, letting the word tell you what it means, how it's relevant to you. How it's relevant to what you're looking at. So the best definition of humility, I thought, is it synonym, which is submissive, inclined or ready to submit or yield to the authority of another. Unresistingly or humbly obedient. And again, we're going to look at what we're humbly obedient to. In short, it's being humbly obedient to my true desire. Of course, ego would tell me it means, oh, that means lowly, sickly, worthless. That's what humility is. That's what ego says. Such a contrast. And then finally, the word honesty means freedom from, the definition that I saw means freedom from deceit or fraud. And again, I thought this was an interesting contrast because, if I'm speaking from my honest truth, that's authenticity, right? So freedom from deceit or fraud, though, is the definition that jumped out at me. And I think this is because that's what ego says. Again, who are you trying to kid? You know, you're being deceitful or fraudulent. You don't have a line on the truth. But I think that this is because ego or the thinking mind really has no access to true knowledge. You know, it doesn't believe that there is an immutable truth, that there's one thing that's true. Everything's up for interpretation. So ultimately, ego says, how can you have the truth? There's not even one of those things that exists. Truth does not exist. So, as the reading says, grandiosity is an attempt to counteract your littleness. It's based on the belief that littleness is real. So of course, ego is going to see any attempt to, attempt doesn't seem like the right word, but any attempt to convey my clarity as being fraudulent or deceitful. Because what ego or the thinking mind would tell me is, you know, you're little, you're not worthy. Who do you think you are? So again, this grandiosity is just a cover for that, for the, what ego really believes, what ego is really fearful of, that that I'm unworthy. And in order to prove my worthiness, I'm trying to get in this idea of this competition. It says, A Course in Miracles says, the essence of grandiosity is competitiveness because it always involves attack. It is a delusional attempt to outdo, but not to undo. So it's about comparison. Oh, I know more than she does. Oh, you poor thing. You don't understand that concept. Well, let me explain it to you. So it really does become a measure of and the idea of comparison. If I'm comparing myself to others, I can be sure that I've slipped into grandiosity. It's, as this says, it's an attempt to outdo others. It's not about undoing what needs to be undone, which is my own belief in littleness. So let me read. I wrote a little bit here with Inner Wisdom, and I want to read you the first paragraph of that because I think that this will bring more clarity to the reading. Inner Wisdom said, "You struggle with the proper order." Okay, so let me read you the question first, so that this makes sense. I asked, "What would you have me say regarding hubris, humility, and honesty?" And the response was, "You struggle with the proper order of these traits because you vacillate between clarity and confusion. Your clarity is mistaken for hubris, but only by the one you call judge," which is my fond pet name for for the ego, for the thinking mind, for this, the mind chatter. So again, "You struggle with the proper order of these traits, hubris, humility, and honesty, because you vacillate between clarity and confusion. Your clarity is mistaken for hubris, but only by the one you call judge. As A Course in Miracles says, clarity is just as it is. It is not mistaken to rely on it, to relay it, and to trust it. It is only the thinking mind that would tell you that you attempt to falsely inflate your value because only the thinking mind believes that value is earned or assigned. Your true worth brings true knowledge, and all men have the same. The reading says, can your grandeur be arrogant when God himself witnesses to it? To accept yourself as God created you cannot be arrogance, because it is the denial of arrogance. It says this in this paragraph where it says, you cannot replace yourself. It's not up to me to define who I am. And this is what the ego attempts to do when it wants to compare my knowledge of whatever the topic is with yours. I'm defining myself, and I'm attempting to define myself through separation, through comparing myself to others. And the inner wisdom talked with me about vacillating between clarity and confusion. And the reading talks about littleness and grandiosity alternating in my awareness. And it does this, they alternate, you know, there are two sides of the same coin. Oh, I suck. Oh, I'm great. I mean, those are the two sides of the same coin. And that's because that whole thing is on what this calls the level of shift. What I see, I am, calls the level of shift. Extremes are its essential characteristic. It's like there is no truth in it. And so my attempt to define myself by listening to the thinking mind, I'm going to vacillate between those two extremes. Oh, I'm great. Oh, I suck. And there's no truth in it. So inner wisdom goes on to say, your goal or job or duty is to be true to your clarity, to stand in your own truth, as you say. It's funny that the word authenticity did not come in until this morning, because that's exactly what's being discussed here. My job is to be authentic. Doing so entails both honesty and humility. The humility is as seen in 1 Peter, submission to your true desire or Holy Spirit. Submission to true desire carries within it the renunciation of goals and comparisons. If you are comparing yourself to your brother, you can be sure that you are confused. Confusion warrants not, I'm starting to sound like Yoda myself or Nisargadatta. Confusion warrants not pride in truth or in illusion. All right. So confusion is nothing to be proud of. So if I'm going, oh, I know more than you, the first, that's pretty good red flag. If I'm in comparison, I'm in confusion, and that's nothing to be proud of. NTI 1 Peter chapter 3 says, be submissive to your true desire. In this way, you are submissive to your Holy Spirit, for your true desire is your Holy Spirit. True desire and Holy Spirit are inseparable. look within to the misperceptions that make you special. That is, those misperceptions that seem to hold you apart from the rest. They may seem to be misperceptions that make you better, such as talent or wisdom or love, or they may seem to be misperceptions that make you less than, such as unworthiness, sacrifice, or disdain. Whatever you see that seems to separate you from others is a misperception, and it has arisen within your awareness that it may be let go through your decision to be free of it. So again, if I'm comparing myself to others, whichever side of that coin I'm on, I'm in confusion. Inner wisdom goes on to say, you need not apologize for your clarity. You need not apologize for your clarity. Right? Again, this is the difference between grandeur and grandiosity. Where does that, let me find where it says that. You are altogether irreplaceable in the mind of God. No one else can fill your part of it. You are altogether irreplaceable in the mind of God. No one else can fill your part of it. So I do have a purpose and a function. I remember, I think it was back in the summer, writing with Inner Wisdom, and Inner Wisdom saying something about, oh, the plans that I have for you, they're, you know, oh, you're not going to believe how fabulous they are. Now, it didn't say quite that, but that's the way I read it. And I'm like, oh, what is this garbage? And threw the book across the room. You know, that's clearly ego. That's not Holy Spirit or Inner Wisdom. But you can see in that, I can feel in that, real temptation to believe in my littleness, right? Instead of stepping into whatever purpose the universe has for me. Again, Inner Wisdom says, you need not apologize for your clarity. You need not worry what others will think. Such confusion undoes or causes you to forget any clarity you have found. Yeah, again, what comes in the mind is, you know, it's like, one step forward and two steps back. Oh, I got it. Oh, I lost it. you know, I'm undoing that clarity by refusing to claim it. And I can only refuse to claim it because I believe in my own littleness. You need not apologize for your clarity. You need not worry what others will think. Such confusion undoes or causes you to forget any clarity you have found. March on toward truth and be the beacon that shines its light for others to follow. This is the great service spoken of in A Course in Miracles. And the great service, of course, is accepting the atonement or the correction for myself. Learning the truth of self, coming to remember the truth of self, and sharing whatever understanding and clarity that I have around that with others. This is the service to which you have been called. You are indeed asked to speak the truth and to give glory to that which is beyond and before the I am. All right. And I wondered whether I would read this part, but I'm going to from Inner Wisdom. It says, you seem to experience fear or uncertainty in speaking these words. Please, please see that this reluctance is more of the false humility propagated by the ego or thinking mind. You must stand up, stand strong, and see clearly. You cannot see if you cower in fear that your clarity is confusion. Speak up, fear not, for I am with you. I will guide you in what you are to say. Sit and trust that what needs to come will come. As you pause and wait for me to speak, I will broaden your heart and your mind so that you have both the willingness and the words to say that show you your true heart and your true desire, and make the way smooth for all who listen. Yeah, again, I teach what I would learn. It's not a question of whether I have something valuable to contribute. It's a matter of being authentic. It's a matter of stepping into my own clarity. There's no honor in disclaiming clarity. There's no honor in stepping into confusion. Whether I do that by saying, oh, look how great I am, which is a comparison, right? Or no, don't pay any attention to me. It's the same thing. There's no honor in there. There's no authenticity in that. There's no helpfulness in that. There's no service in that. So I'm looking down at this next question I asked, and it's really funny. because it sounds like a question that ego often asks. This next question says, well, how do I know whether I'm right? and I went, well, wait a minute, let's re-ask this. Really, in other words, how can I know whether I am coming from confusion or clarity? That's what I really want. You see how that's so different than the way the ego would ask that question? How can I know whether I am coming from confusion or clarity? And the answer is, are you arguing, trying to convince? This is confusion. Is there a knowing that comes from the heart, a knowing that need not have the answer? Are you spoken through? This is clarity. You know the difference in the way you feel. Are you striving towards a goal such as being seen as having the right answer? And again, that brings us back to where we started. Do I want to share something of value, or do I want to be seen as having something valuable to share? Inner Wisdom says, pause, let me speak through you. I will guide you truly. Trust is the answer. That's always the answer, isn't it? With every question that we have, that's always the answer. Pause, listen for guidance and trust that you have the guidance that you've asked for. That's it. You know, anything else comes from the idea that I need to do, I need to fix, I need to be better than I am, that I have no inherent value. The only thing that has no inherent value is the thinking mind. My value was written by God, and this is what I trust in. And I think that's it. So let's see what we're supposed to do something now in this order of service. Let me see what it is. I think it's a song. So let me play a song. Take this opportunity to contemplate what we've talked about. Also, please take this opportunity to donate if you feel so moved. And I will, I'll play our song here again. I gotta figure it out.
Waking up, I see that everything is okay. The first time in my life and now it's so great. Slowing down, I look around and I'm so amazed. I think about the little things that make life great. I wouldn't change a thing about it. This is the best feeling. This innocence is brilliant. I hope that it will stay. This moment is perfect. Please don't go. Goodbye. I found a place so safe, not a single tear. The first time in my life and now it's so clear. Feel calm, I belong, I'm so happy here. It's so strong and now I let myself be sincere. I wouldn't change a thing about it.
Okay, guys, I want to give you an opportunity to share. So I cut that a little short. Great song. Perfect, I think, for what we just heard. But so it's your time to share, though. So please share. Oops, wait. I can't see it because I had to click on the. All right. I do not have the participants up, so I can't see hands.
Lynn would like to speak.
Yes, please. Go ahead, Lynn.
All right. Thank you so much, Jacqueline. What a great message, and how happy I am to hear, you know, everything that you're saying is just so perfect. A couple of things from the reading. What a wonderful reading this is, and it's something that people talk about, but I don't think people really get right into what it is because it seems so different, so esoteric. It's not like my experience. But when you start realizing that your experience is going from I feel like crap to I really am happy multiple times a day, maybe multiple times a minute, then you know you recognize, well, this can't possibly be my natural state. Because it makes no sense whatsoever that I would, you know, be so ambivalent about things. But One of the things that in the reading that really hit me was when Jesus said, when you get to this state where you're being constant, and you were saying, you know, authenticity was not in your talk, but honesty is authenticity. That's exactly what it is. It is being consistent, and that's what the Course says. Honesty is consistency. It's like everything you're doing from this one place, this one state of mind, and not this flip-flopping state of mind that we tend to be in. So your message is just straight on. But what I really wanted to say was that Jesus says there in that reading that when we get this, when we start getting this, we seek out others who are thinking the same way. And we don't seek out others who are thinking the same way so that we can argue with them about the way it should be. We seek them out so we can find agreement with them and recognize our equality as sons of God and as teachers. And so for me, it's such a great gift to have the ability to join even over this, you know, internet with mighty companions who are seeking the same thing and join in an equality. And that's, you know, Awakening Together, you guys are doing a great job, and I'm so blessed to be a part of this. And thank you again, Jacqueline.
Thank you, Lynn. That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing. Yeah. How blessed are we? Who else would like to share? Okay. Well, let me once again express my gratitude to you, my mighty companions. Again, for the opportunity to teach what I would learn. And I just feel it. And I love you all. And thank you for allowing me to share.